Good evening. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California. It's tape number 537, March the 21st, 1982. And this is part one on the murder of John Belushi. I'll do as much as I can on it and get back to part two later, maybe in a few weeks or even in a few months. When John Belushi died, for the first week or so, there was a lot of confusion in Los Angeles, the coroner's office, the police officials, on how he died. And of course, after a week after he was dead, the headlines had a fait accompli, that he was always drunk, that he was a slob, that he was taking drugs all the time, that he had this expensive drug habit. I don't know John Belushi. I never knew him, but I enjoyed him as an artist, and he was very successful. And just as many of the rock musicians died at the peak of their success or just at the crest where they were going to do more and better things, this death followed the same pattern. He had made a movie called The Animal House, and it was the highest grossing movie in the history of comedy. They made another movie, he and his partner in the Blues Brothers, one Continental Divide, another called The Neighbors. They were 5 years on Saturday Night Live. They made music, albums, recordings, blues music, and so forth, and albums for the National Lampoon. He was about to make with his partners two very important and really highly political movies. One was to be called Blue Moon Over Miami, and it was to be directed by Louis Malle, M-A-L-L-E, the fellow who directed Atlantic City, nominated for an Academy Award, and also My Dinner with Andre, nominated or suggested by some this year as being the best picture of the year. Malle is a serious director. The script was written by a very highly successful and well-known writer, John Guare, G-U-A-R-E. So one of the movies he was to make was a comedy about the FBI and drug dealing coming from Colombia and South America to Miami, and he would play the role of the drug dealer who goes as an informer of the FBI, and then the FBI agent becomes a drug dealer. And that's, you must admit, a very controversial movie, because the state of Florida depends upon the drug market. It's probably the biggest business going industry in Florida and also in the United States. And these kinds of people don't appreciate comedy about these very serious things. And also, the network for assassination teams and hit people and drug dealers or dealing poison drugs comes from headquarters from Hollywood and both Miami. He also was in Hollywood to make a movie called Noble Rot, and he was to be with his good friend Don Novello. Many of you have seen him on television. He plays Father Sarducci. He makes jokes of the Vatican, and the two of them did skits, particularly Belushi on Harry the Hare Krishna, on Menachem Begum, on Henry Kissinger, on Truman Capote. They took off these political people as well as a lot of the gross comedy that they were doing. Now, Father Sarducci and John Belushi making a movie about the winery in California, which is dominated by the mob, and they're trying to gain social acceptance in the milieu. They have plenty of that, these wineries around the state of California, as they do in Italy and France and elsewhere. And this was to be a comedy about equivalent to Italian mafia, Noble Rot. You can imagine what that is, just that title alone. So if you think that he wasn't particularly political, forget it. His movies to be, if not what he did in the past, what he did in the past was make fun of the establishment, and to make fun of the establishment is lethal. It's very dangerous to laugh at them, and they're pretty laughable when they're not very serious. When we don't want to cry about the mess they've gotten us into, you realize that one way to handle it is to laugh. Now, this person, John Belushi, was described as a particular genius in comedy, and I believe that the whole group on Saturday Night Live were, and I watched it regularly, and I still watch it, and I think they're very good. This director that was going to carry Belushi into the next movie, Malle, who's such a fine director, said in an interview that he wanted the chance to direct him into something, to lead him into what he was capable of. He said, there were things in Belushi I would have loved to try to bring out. I was fascinated behind him because he had great respect for culture. And he actually was the son of an immigrant, a street kid who grew up in Chicago, And Dan Aykroyd and Belushi would have been wonderful. I wanted to work with them. He would have loved to make something human out of these two Martians. This is the way the director described what he would want to do. And, of course, that was stopped. He wasn't able to make a comedy or a farce. Maybe the farce will be made, but the association with the other caricatures won't be in there because Belushi had carried these political people as well as a lot of other goofing off on the television, and well, was taking it to the screen as well as he was in his other movies. Incidentally, Belushi had bought a home, a $400,000 home, up at Martha Vineyards. He had 2,000 feet of oceanfront land and 8.5 acres. He bought it in 1979 from former Defense Secretary Robert McNamara. So when you read that a man has $2 million worth of insurance, he has a $400,000 home that belonged to Robert McNamara, he wasn't just drugging and goofing off in this sloppy, lazy, sleazy image. After he was dead, the articles came out to the effect I could see the mess he lived in, the dirt. To get into productions, you have a commitment to be on time. There's millions of dollars invested in you. You have a schedule you keep. And while it looks fun and games on the screen and camera, and I'm sure there was plenty of goofing off, there were also a lot of brilliant laughs and plans and commitments to schedules and sense of timing, so that the image that was given after he was dead was that he was just a big slob who almost deserved to die in his own vomit. But that wasn't John Belushi. The figures of his success in the terms of what he made, what he earned, and what he was saying speak loud and clear. And all the rest is garbage. You don't have to believe all the cover stories once the fellow is dead. Now, three nights before he died, he was on La Cienega Boulevard near Wilshire, just borders Beverly Hills and Wilshire. He was a cab driver who gave an interview. It was late at night. They were sitting at a counter having something to eat at a sandwich shop, and there's a newspaper there, and they both were looking at it, and he asked Belushi, which part do you want, the sports and entertainment or the El Salvador? And Belushi, according to him, said, I want El Salvador. And he went on to say that he hated what was going on in the news, that he hated being in Hollywood, that they're a bunch of pricks. He used the word, I want to get back to New York City, and he said he wanted to stay there. He said they did have cocaine, and they went to Belushi's car where he had a lot of cocaine in the glove compartment, but he said he was unhappy, and he was fearful of his environment, and he wanted to get back. And I think that about describes it. There was another article published about him that he didn't want to stay in Hollywood, that the last night before he died, he said to somebody, I'm going home to Judy tomorrow. That's his wife who was in New York. I want to get out of here. And I'm sure that he must have sensed some danger, just as Elvis Presley was poisoned until he died, or John Lennon was kept secluded and isolated in an apartment. And the minute he emerged, he died. But when he was in Hollywood, he was bounced around from a lot of drug scenes and a lot of hard people and people at the LAPD, and a very sleazy element that could entrap him later and set him up and make him vulnerable for the seclusion and then later for the kill. So while he was out there, and with good reason, he had feelings of fear and expressed the idea that he would leave the next day and evidently drop the movie and go on back to New York. But that next day never came. He wanted to go to Judy tomorrow, as the story said, but that, of course, didn't happen. There's another story in the news media that he had hired bodyguards, that the studios wanted to keep him from using cocaine if he did indeed have it. They wanted to make sure he was safe. They had a tremendous investment in these productions, and they wanted to keep him clean and see who was around him. Well, just as Nelson Rockefeller, the vice president of the United States, had bodyguards, they weren't around when he died. Robert Kennedy had a bodyguard, Thane Caesar from Lockheed, who was behind him when Robert Kennedy got the fatal bullets from the back of the head. A lot of times bodyguards let people through the door that shouldn't be there. And it's a question of what agencies they come from or who are they, and did he at all have bodyguards, and who was looking after him? Because two nights before he died, this woman had come to his home, Jacqueline Smith, the same woman that was with him when he died, and she was kicked out. And his wife said that they kicked her out, Evelyn Smith, rather, not Jacqueline, and she reappears, and she doesn't have her car, and she's driving his car. Maybe he was too drunk to drive home that evening from the clubs. But where was her car, and where does she live? These questions, of course, haven't been answered except to say that she's one of the biggest suppliers of drugs to the Hollywood stars. Now, there was a time when Bobby Hall, the detective in Beverly Hills, had managers for four rock groups come to him and want to know who was giving them their drugs there because they were in trouble, they were sick, and many of them were dying, and they were having tremendous problems. They want to know, where is this coming from? Who's killing off these rock musicians? And, of course, Bobby Hall was murdered, and he had a lot of tapes on the Hollywood scene and the drug suppliers. So this person was who was with him, and we'll go into that a little further in a few minutes, is Evelyn Smith. She was known as a supplier of narcotics, but her behavior on the scene was so questionable that not only supplying narcotics would be a crime, but not calling 911 or the police or the hotel desk is irresponsible, because it turned out that she was actually there when he died and then went away for a couple hours and came back and didn't call anybody. She just let his help, the bodyguard assistant who appeared at 12:30 at noon, find the dead body, even though it was dead when she walked out. So again, who are the security guards and what are they like? Another article in the paper, John Belushi felt tragically alone. He was paranoid that he was being used by people. Now, I think ever since he was on Saturday Night Live, ever since he was doing the imitations of these famous people, he was on a list, an enemy list to get. Just being that political, I remember watching the last performance of Saturday Night Live of that original group, and a friend was watching it that evening and said, how can they get away with what they're doing? And then the next day, the whole group was fired, and it was broken up, and there was an article in the newspaper, which I saved, saying that they were too political, and the group was broken up. Sure, he was being followed and used by people. I'm sure that as he moved from place to place, that people were getting him prepared and building up this milieu around him that he could be done in if he got more political. And the two movies that he was going to make were so highly political that it would be imperative to see that he didn't get any further fame and notoriety. Noble rot means the noble priest, Sarducci, and the rottenness of the winery people. So you can figure out how popular that is, making that movie, and the wine people behind the Hollywood studios and the drug scene also. And again, the movie about the FBI and the Blue Moon over Miami. I must repeat those because those are not popular subjects to make movies about. Now, when he died, the first article in the newspaper said John Belushi died alone, in bed, nude, in a fetal position. Lieutenant Dan Cook of the Los Angeles Police said, it appears to be natural causes. There were dark blotches on his arms caused when blood starts to settle and not by needles. That was the first report. Then the police said it appeared that he choked on his tongue. They thought that he had choked. Now, Saturday, John Belushi died on Friday. On Saturday, there were more articles about choking on food, natural causes. The heart attack is a hot possibility. No sign of drug usage. Then the hotel gardener and clerk came in and said his heart evidently failed him. They said the room was neat. Everything was hunky-dory. The clothes were put away. The actor was in bed, clothes neatly folded as though he'd gone to sleep for the night. That was Saturday. And they said there's nothing out of the order. There's no reason to suspect foul play. And he was in good health the night before. The people had seen him commented about his condition the night before. By Sunday, the news report said Los Angeles coroner Thomas Noguchi, the controversial Noguchi who was fired right after this case, said the cause of death has not yet been determined. Belushi lived a peculiar way, but yet, discounting his lifestyle, he seemed to have choked on food. This was San Francisco Examiner, March the 7th, and the owner of Roxy Nightclub, where he was the evening before he died. He had not taken any drugs. They had not seen any. But, of course, after he left Roxy's, he went upstairs. So by Monday, the newspaper report said more tests needed to determine the cause of death. Well, an article from the Houston Post. They were examining him. They were examining his heart. They said he ordered breakfast, a whole wheat toast, jelly, a pot of coffee, and freshly squeezed orange juice, and had breakfast on the terrace. Now, this particular woman had ordered the breakfast then at 10:30 when Belushi was nice and dead. She went out and said she went out for breakfast, but it's obvious from 6:30 to 8 when this was ordered that he was just about over the hill and he wasn't eating that breakfast. Monday, they still weren't sure. The cause of death is still undetermined, the newspaper article said. they couldn't reveal the cause of death. They'd have to take slides of tissues and go into more pathology of the body. And then a doctor who worked on the autopsy of Senator Robert Kennedy got into the case and said the autopsy would insist that they take out parts of the body, cut open, look at the internal organs. This is Dr. John Holloway, and see if there was a heart attack. Now, if the body was so filled with all these needles and there was cocaine, heroin all over the place, and drugs and powder, one story later, at least 10 days later, the place was a mess of drugs and narcotics. The first 5 days, there wasn't anything around. The doctor who worked on Robert Kennedy's autopsy said the evidence may not be so visible, so the tissue must be tested and a full anatomic evidence must be presented. It may be myocardial infarction or a coronary attack. So they weren't so sure. Tuesday, no comment on Belushi. A second round of tests for toxic substance and evidence of disease on samples of tissue taken. That was on Tuesday. On the sixth day after he's dead, March the 10th, they still didn't know what killed him. There were interviews. They said there was a powder resembling cocaine on a nightstand, that his body had needle mark that was likely to show an intravenous injected cocaine instead of snorting it through his nose. Then the 7 days later, Belushi died of an overdose of drugs. Chief of Police Gates in Los Angeles said he didn't know about the drugs, but he was told that the musician actor had died of natural causes. That was Mr. Gates, the chief of police of L.A. Then by 7 days later, signs of drug use on Belushi's body reported. It seems that he had been stuck with a needle. Now, one report said there were lots of needles all over him. The other said a needle. One said the dark spots were from blood clots. And then the official autopsy report came out, and that was the shocker, because the way it was published, it gave hardly any information about questions that should have been asked. This L.A. Examiner, official report on Belushi death. At 1 a.m., he went to a private bar, which is not named in the autopsy report. He stayed there and was driven back to his room, where he vomited and was pale and sweaty. And he was immediately sick and then started taking wine and cocaine. There was no smell of vomit or evidence of this kind of sickness. When the police first came in, they thought he had a heart attack. At 3 o'clock to 3:30, other friends were there. The autopsy report says other friends who were not identified arrived at the bungalow at 3 and stayed about 30 minutes. And that's the time when he could get injected with the cocaine in his arm or the heroin into his arm that was really fatal. From 3 to 3:30, people came. We don't know how many, whether it's 1 to 10 or 4 or 3, not named, and stayed to 3:30. By 6:30, he was having hot and cold flashes and took a shower. And at 8 a.m., he fell asleep, shaking and wheezing. And Evelyn Smith went into the room, and at 9:30, she heard this wheezing coming from the bedroom. And he was afraid, and she said that he was terrified and very sick. She hears this rattle and this terrible noise, and he says, "Please don't leave me." So she walks out and leaves him, and the one thing he wanted was, "Don't leave me alone." I guess he knew then he was dying, but she walks out. And at 10:15, he was covered up with a blanket and appeared to be sleeping. She goes out to get something to eat. At 12:30, his physical therapist comes in, and they pronounced him dead. The body was still warm. He had congestion of the lungs, liver and spleen, swelling of the brain, enlarged heart, aortic arteriosclerosis, distended urinary bladder, and then they threw in obesity. He weighed 222 pounds. Now, with all of those things that he had in the report, in the autopsy report, many of those would have showed up within the first autopsy. It wouldn't take 1 to 7 days to find all of this. And with this enlarged brain, and there was the weight of the brain in the autopsy report, it'd be tremendously painful, and he'd be breathing in pain. When she left, he was covered with a blanket with foam coming out of his mouth and swallowed his tongue and the eyes rolling. In fact, the friend that came in, the first aide, said, "I closed his eyes because I couldn't stand to see them open." I'd never done that before. So she would have seen easily that he was dead, and this terrible, painful group of symptoms. And she walks out and leaves, and then she came back. And the police put handcuffs on and took her away, and then they released her. And she becomes a superstar and goes to New York City for interviews with ABC. and does an article for Rolling Stones that I haven't read yet, but is in charge for any kind of collusion or role in this particular death. Now, one of the clues of this thing is who were the people there from 3 to 3:30, and when he was good and drunk and full of cocaine, did they inject him with some fatal thing that did him in? The first story is that he was taking drugs because the police chief didn't mention it, the coroner didn't mention it, came from ABC television. Recently on this broadcast, I mentioned that ABC, one of the lawyers for ABC television is Greg Boutzer, who was the attorney for Howard Hughes, the time period Howard Hughes was drugged at the hotel, at Beverly Hills Hotel, and silenced until he was taken away and murdered. ABC had inside information, and they have worked closely with teams that have been on the border of other mysterious drug-related deaths. And also Greg Boutzer is the partner, the law partner, of Mr. Rothman, who just joined MGM with Kirk Kerkorian and Fred Benninger and that gang, and that's the studio that Natalie Wood worked for. And we won't go into that murder now, but those people were the first ones to announce, not the coroner, not the police chief, they had the answer. And then the coroner came out after ABC Radio and said the deceased died of an overdose due to intravenous injections of heroin and cocaine. The first story was injections of cocaine. Now, is this a murder or not? When the coroner's report says that Kathy Evelyn Smith may have been with him when he died, newspaper articles, he may have been dead when she left. Is she responsible for his death if she sees him breathing in pain, obviously dying, death rattle, choking? She doesn't call 911. She doesn't go to the desk where there's somebody at the hotel all the time. The article from this Herald Examiner in L.A. says Belushi may have died before the woman left him. Where does murder begin and leave off? What is the responsibility? Who were the people in the room? This is a highly political, highly successful person who's oft in Hollywood, which is a nest of people who do not like the national, international attention to the various elements of our society that Belushi makes fun of and is going to portray on the screen. This woman left. There were fresh multiple marks on his both arms. There was no evidence of scarred veins in either arm, which shows he was only recently injected. The body was still warm. She orders her breakfast at 8. She goes out again for breakfast at 10:30. He's turned over and dead. She doesn't call anybody. She lets him be found. And then she's flown to New York City to the Essex Hotel and put on ABC TV for 2020, and the mystery woman is described as somebody who is known by as a drug dealer in Hollywood. She's known as the person who supplies the biggies with these drugs. Well, when they die, shouldn't she be questioned and brought in? I think she should. So Tom Gerald brought her to New York City with her attorney, and she has another attorney in Century City by the name of Robert Sheehan. The ABC paid for their planes, their hotel, the interview. And then she met with Rolling Stone magazine. Is that the end of Kathy Evelyn Smith? Is that all we're going to know until somebody else conks out? Is there somebody there who quietly goes to the bungalow, brings in the crowd? She was kicked out 2 nights before. He didn't trust her. 2 nights before he died, he had his bodyguard aide kick her out of the place. His wife says, I don't believe the story that's going on out there. The next day, he tells friends he wants to get out of town. He doesn't feel safe. He feels he's in danger. The 3 nights before before she was kicked out of his place, he's telling somebody about his politics, his feelings about the world in general, and he certainly expressed them in the movies and the roles he played. He's kicked her out 2 nights before. She suddenly appears that night. An unnamed club above Roxy's is involved in the autopsy report, not named. Unnamed people, unnamed sources of drugs. The Los Angeles police said, we're not looking for anybody. We'll look for the source of drugs. No charges to be made. A rock star was with him just shortly before he died, who's not mentioned, who said there wasn't a needle present anywhere. His doctor said there were no needles on him, that he'd been to the doctor for ear, nose, and throat problem, but he didn't know him to be taking these hard drugs, and there was no multiple needle punctures, there was no scarring in the veins, and no proof that he had been a junkie all of his life. As his wife said, he may have taken some cocaine and lots of it. He may have taken marijuana. But it's going all over Hollywood, but certain segments of society are dying, and that's the important thing to look for, how certain elements of society are dying and being done in. His wife said right away, an article in the Chicago Sun-Times, something weird happened. That woman was thrown out 2 days ago. John told Bill to throw her out. And then somehow she shows up and gets in, and I wish I knew more, because he wasn't a junkie. This Evelyn Smith was short while with Gordon Lightfoot in Toronto. She moved to L.A. in 1978 for the drug scene, and his wife, Judith Jacqueline Belushi, wanted to know where she came from, who is this woman, what was she doing there, and how does she appear the night that he dies? And she's there with him till he dies, and of course the obvious thing is, not to call the police. It's like when Nelson Rockefeller died, Megan Marshak was with him, and she doesn't call the guard outside, the chauffeur outside. She doesn't call 911 at the hospital. She calls Poinchetta Pierce, who lives down the street in an apartment, and tells Poinchetta to come on over, and Poinchetta comes down, and the two of them get together, and then they decide to call the police when he's really good and dead. The newspapers later said police looking for the source of drugs of John Belushi's, the source of Belushi's drugs. How far do they have to go? All they have to go is to this mystery woman who was with him. He begged her not to leave, and she left. She must have a great appetite to go away and come back. When she came back, she brought back equipment of narcotics material and said, I didn't want to leave it around because the maid might find it, but it's sort of like the telltale diary of Lee Harvey Oswald or Mark David Chapman with the Jodie Foster, with the John Lennon notes that he put in the books over in Hawaii, or with the John Hinckley case of shooting Ronald Reagan, the diaries at the hotel. This woman leaves Belushi, and who's supposed to be so heavily in drugs all over the place. The police come in and at that time don't see drugs or powder or needle marks and take him away. Then she reappears 2 hours later, 12:30, and has all the equipment and brings it back. Then she can spread it all over the place and say, oh, yeah, I took it away, but I decided to bring it back. If a woman is a drug dealer and the police are coming and a man is dead, the last thing she would do would be to incriminate herself by walking in with all the drug paraphernalia and the spoon and the burn spoon and all the equipment it takes with the cocaine and so forth. So why does she bring it all back and lay it in front of them unless she knows that she's not going to be arrested, that she's there to set him up? And she can lay this stuff out. The most stupid thing would be, once you've removed the stuff, to bring it back so that everyone can see it. Now, once Belushi was dead, then the articles begin pouring in about the drug mixture that killed him, the San Francisco Examiner, a favorite of local drug users, the drug mixture that killed Belushi. Then another article, National Enquirer, John Belushi's reckless race to the grave. Meeting with the notorious drug queen who sells hard drugs. He used drugs 10 to 12 years. He used a $25,000 a month cocaine habit, and he had drug-soaked sex orgies, a one-way ticket to hell. Well, it'd be awfully hard, as I say, with a $25,000 a month cocaine habit to be in a multi-million-dollar movie or two with the finest directors and writers in Hollywood that are going now, the award-winning people that are at the top using John Belushi. I am sure that he was not the crazy, reckless pig that they tried to make him out after he was dead. The worst article came from Kate Breverman in the Los Angeles Times, a harsh final look at Belushi, the patron saint of pigs. Then it says, so he hits Los Angeles and goes berserk. No one comes here for a serious fashion. What else is Los Angeles good for? It's the last frontier for desperate men, rock stars, exiled tyrants. Los Angeles is a Disneyland for the decadent, a top ticket all the way, the best rides to hell. Then she writes some more about Belushi is the belly of this century, the limitless appetite for the novelty, for the rot that began with Manifest Destiny. And she tears them apart as the 20th century nightmare. And then there are articles in the San Francisco Chronicle, much to do about nothing. Saturday Night Live was designed to attract the sleepy and the sloppy, and then he will be totally forgotten in a few years. Well, that's the kind of reporting that comes out after he's dead, but I assure you that had he been allowed to live, he would have been remembered for the movies he was going to make, and he will be remembered for the programs he did with the Lampoon, the National Lampoon, with the Saturday Night Live. The college movies and some of those others I mentioned, I didn't see them because they're not my type of movie. But that doesn't mean you put them down. They have appeal for other people, and his particular humor is genius. And I did like his cartoons about Henry Kissinger and Begin and the Hare Krishnas. Even if this was his fatal mistake, the Truman Capotes, that's where the genius was. And I think that was the fatal mistake that did him in. I'll do some more about this subject later, maybe in a few weeks or months to come, as I said. In the meanwhile, that's the summary of what I think happened to John Belushi. I think he was murdered, poisoned. May have had a liking for drugs, so they overdosed him, injected him. He died. Nobody's charged. That's the end of one more person expressing their feelings about this society and doing a good job of it. I'll do more about the subject of Belushi and the other artists again in the future. In the meanwhile, this is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.